Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Hello, everyone. This is Jerry Pippin, and we're from the Cover Up Cafe right down the street from the UFO Museum in Roswell, New Mexico. Welcome to our show. And we got an audience here at the Cover Up, so if you'd like to applaud to let everybody know we're here. Later on, we'll go to the audience and have some questions, and we'll try to make room for that. Later in the show, we have Jesse Marcel, Jr., and in addition to that, we have quite a few other guests, and I don't want to start naming them all because we won't get to Yvonne Smith, who is our first guest. And Yvonne Smith is really one of the key players in the UFO field and the paranormal field. Around, and Yvonne, last time I saw you, welcome to the show, by the way.
Thank you, Jerry.
Nice the last time I saw Yvonne was in Laughlin, but since then, she's been to Italy.
Italy, yes.
And tell everyone a little bit what you're currently working on. What did you talk about here at the UFO Museum?
Well, here I'm working on my three lectures, actually two and a half lectures, and basically it's talking about my upcoming book, Chosen, Recollections of UFO Abductions Through Hypnotherapy, a culmination of some of the cases. I work with hundreds of cases, so I'm putting them together in my first book in as much detail as I can.
Yeah, we talked about some of those incidents on our previous interview, not too much about the book, but about some of the things you've been doing. And we have that on the website as well. People can go over and listen to that, so we won't cover that too much. But let's talk a little bit about Roswell, and you're from L.A.?
Yes, from near the Pasadena, California area.
Okay. And have you been to Roswell before?
Oh, yes. This is, I believe, my fourth visit here.
So have you ran across some good subjects here in research, or basically you just came here to lecture?
Well, I have my table set up, and it's I have met some very nice people who are sharing their experiences with me, something very personal. A couple of people told me they've never been able to talk to anybody about these things. And after my lecture, of course, I was approached by several people that related to my lecture and the slides that I had shown, the visuals.
Yeah, what kind of visuals do you have in your presentation?
I have...
I mean, you weren't there when they were abducted.
No,
were you?
Not yet.
Yeah. That's your goal. Like
that's
me. I want to go knock on the saucer and interview the little gray guy and say, "Hey, tell me a little bit about it."
Right.
No, go ahead. Tell me what the visuals are about.
In my one lecture, Anatomy of an Abduction, I put together a series of slides which depicts what happens in an abduction experience from beginning to end, including the how a person feels when they're taken, how they're taken. And this is just from cases that I have studied and worked
with. Is there a common denominator about how they feel, or is
Absolutely.
It run the gamut? There is a common denominator.
And this is what I had explained to the audience, is that we have to go where the research takes us. And after establishing so many hundreds of patterns, we know that now people experience missing time while they're driving, or people experience what we call the bedroom visitation. They're rendered paralyzed, then they're taken up into a beam of light onto the craft. Then the descriptions of the curved hallway and the examination rooms.
These keep coming back pretty much the same.
Absolutely, and that's why I put this together for people who are not well versed in the subject. And my goal is to keep getting this out to the general public and general media.
You've done so many of these. I don't know how many people you have talked to. You probably don't recall offhand, but hundreds or thousands, maybe.
Of cases?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I have had, and I'll probably be conservative, about a little over 500 cases. I know thousands of hours of hypnotherapy sessions.
So when you first started doing this, And now you've done 500 hours at least.
Oh, 500 cases.
Yeah, okay. Thousands of hours. Anything really out of the ordinary or what I'm trying to get at is when you started, you probably had a pretty good idea of what you wanted to do. I know I do on my radio shows, but usually when I start talking to somebody, we go a totally different direction. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And yes. So what's this lead you to believe?
Well, as I mentioned before, we have to go where the research takes us. So I feel that because the examinations revolve mainly around they're studying our DNA and our reproductive system, how we work, how we think, really. They put them through tests.
In other words, you've come to the conclusion it's probably a research project.
Well, I guess we could call it that, but I think because people who have had these experiences have been shown these hybrid babies, and they've been shown young children and adolescent children that. I believe their agenda, their program, is to perfect this hybrid.
So in other words, they're creating a different. They're doing instead of planetary engineering, they're doing genealogical engineering.
I believe that's where the research is taking us.
Why would they do that? Did any of your victims or maybe that's
clients.
Not right time.
Clients,
okay. I'm not talking about you, the victims themselves or the ETs, but maybe that's not even right.
Well, you know, some people don't mind the abductee word. Other people like experiencer. You know, I feel that it's up to the individual to...
Well, as a matter of fact, it is. I know in communications we say things, and a lot of people take it a different way didn't mean at all. So I guess people have different reactions of what was done to them.
Absolutely. And they react differently. Everybody reacts differently.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very good that they're taking women and impregnating them. That's what's happening, right?
And also they're taking men
and how do they do that
samples?
With the men?
Because
I've had several men on that you give... pretty emotional stories almost as much as the women do.
And they do. Because
they feel violated too.
It's not a sexual act. It's a clinical act. I mean, they're performing a function. They're performing a job. I'm not saying they're malevolent or benevolent. I think they have a program. I think they have a job to do. And I feel that at some point they're going to be among us if they aren't already.
Yeah, there's a lot of people believe they are among us. And if you go back to some of these cases, Betty and Barney Hill way back in the 60s, and other cases probably before that that nobody talked about in those times.
Yes.
You would think that they probably have quite a few because everything multiplies as you go along. So what I'm trying to get at is I believe what you're saying, and I believe that's what's happening because people keep telling me that's what's happening that have been through it over the years, but I still haven't figured the angle by the ETs themselves. Do they want a better race, or do you know?
Has anybody... We don't. I mean, it's difficult to draw a definite conclusion, uh-huh. which I can't do right now, but their program seems to revolve around or center around the hybrid program. And I've already had a couple of cases of people who feel that they have met possibly an alien being who looks very human but still has special qualities, special powers that we humans don't have. We can't control each other by looking into each other's eyes. We can't read each other's minds. So they still have, they look human, but they still have these alien powers.
Have you had someone come to you sometime or another that might have some of these alien powers that you suspect he might have them and they're not aware of it? Or do if a hybrid has these powers they know of.
Yeah, the cases that I have come across, and I have even gone back to my cases to look back at the data, because at that time we weren't paying attention to, you know, the hybrids or the human-looking hybrids. They know that they have this power. I mean, they know that they're not completely like us.
And here again, have you been able to figure out who they are, the ETs?
No.
Is it a group?
We haven't figured out really where they're from, you know.
Your hunch, you feel it's a galaxy far, far away or another dimension, or you just don't know?
You know, it could be all of the above.
Uh-huh.
We just know that the people who are experiencing these abductions or experiences are taken from their environment to, you know, pardon the pun, but an alien environment, and then they're put back.
Now, in front of you have a DVD there. Tell me about that.
Yes, this is from Secrets of the Underground, and it's a series. This volume one is my interview with Bud Hopkins. We did an interview together with director, producer Brandon Scott, and it is debuting here at Roswell, and will be up on the website.
We have a link to it, so that's all right.
Okay.
We got the information from your PR.
From Secrets of the Underground.
Yeah, right. Okay. He's
help me with, this is going to be on Amazon.
Amazon.com, right.
Amazon. And but we're having a special here for the conference. Amazon, I believe it's $20 plus shipping here. We're selling it for $15. But it's in the interview, Bud and I talk about the our work with these cases and the hybrid program.
Yeah, well, you've done... you know, lots of things with Bud Hopkins, obviously, here. You did a DVD with him. We've known Bud over the years. So we respect him a lot. How do you guys get along on your research? Do you agree or not agree?
Pretty much, you know, he's my mentor, really. I mean, I studied with Bud years ago. And we have, you know, what I've done with them is compare cases. I wanted to make sure I was on track with the, you know, the typical abduction experience. And so far, we have been seeing eye to eye. Of course, you know, we as researchers, we all respect each other.
He's had some pretty spectacular cases, and I'm sure you have too.
Oh, well, he's had the, you know, of course, the Linda Cortili case.
Yeah,
and
right.
I spent some time with Linda in New York, and that's an incredible case. And she's an incredible individual.
Most people know what we're talking about, but many people don't. Tell us briefly about Linda Cortili.
Linda Cortili lives in New York, in Manhattan, and was one night taken out of her bedroom through her window and onto a waiting craft, but in front of several witnesses, including a high-ranking government official from another country and his bodyguards, and
right there by the UN, if I remember.
That's right, and
yeah, right.
Fishermen who were working late at night witnessed this. There were several witnesses that came forward, and Bud had. Not had a chance to interview them, but it was almost, as Bud was explaining it, that they showed themselves this time. I mean, they're able to cloak themselves, they're able to walk through walls, they're able to do all of these things, and perhaps they knew about this government official, and perhaps they wanted to be seen.
It seems to me that I don't understand it exactly, but every once in a while, they want people to know they're around, to keep the story alive. You know, maybe it's a grassroots thing they're trying to do with the people. I don't know.
Well, I've had several clients and my serial members and my support group. One of them came up with scratches on his face the next morning, and he remembers hearing a voice saying, "We're not going away. We're not going anywhere." It's almost like they gave him an indication, a physical indication
that something
happened. So
you do have evidence of some physical evidence?
Absolutely, yes. And I do show this in my presentation.
We will be right back, and I'm going to get in. I love the part about the scratching the face, so maybe you have another gory story for me. You know me. We'll be right back. This is Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting from a really nice place. Used to be Denny's years ago, but they have really remodeled the place. It's called the Cover Up Cafe, right down the street from the UFO Museum, and it's open every day. So if you're in Roswell, come by. We'll be right back with more. Don't go away.
Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Every month in Fate Magazine.
Fate.
Fate Magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate Magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate Magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment.
Fate.
Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. This is Jerry Pippin. We're back at the Cover Up Cafe, and we really appreciate the audience here. Let everybody know we're broadcasting. Yvonne Smith is here. We're talking basically about abductions, and does the term hypnotherapist, is that right?
Yes, or, okay. Yes. Certified hypnotherapist.
And so we were talking about some of the incidents, and we'll get to some more of those in a minute, but this is pretty interesting. You're sure this is really your name? You got a business card here. Aileen Girate?
No, Aileen.
Aileen, okay. Almost like a little A and N. Aileen, okay. Up at Area 51. She told me earlier that you listened to some of our Laughlin shows.
All of them.
And you heard Yvonne, I'm sure, if you did that. You have a question?
Yes, I was more interested in what she was saying about the scratching of the face, because I know of another case like that.
Yes, it's more physical evidence that they left behind, and I believe... Once again, as we were talking about the Linda Cortili case, how they wanted to be seen,
mm-hmm.
They wanted this particular person to know that this is happening, and he heard a voice. You know, they do speak to people telepathically, and this gentleman heard, we're not going away.
Really?
And yes, and so when he came to me, and he said he woke up with a, I believe like a scratch on his forehead, and he says, I don't have a cat. But he said when he heard that voice and he realized that no matter, you know, what he does, they're always going to be there. He's had this experience all his life, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, once again, they have left physical evidence. The physical evidence right now that I have when I present, of course, are the body marks that come up overnight.
Right.
And some of them look almost healed, but these people didn't go to bed with these marks, and they come up in triangular shapes.
I've had those marks,
these marks
too.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Eileen. I got to ask a question about that. These marks, do they ever get infected?
Let me see. I have to think. I've had so many of them.
Okay, so it's fairly common.
But I would say, you know, if I have to think about it,
there's not a problem there. Then.
No, they've come up with marks, but also feeling flu-like symptoms, feeling ill.
Okay, there's
other symptoms accompanying it, not always, but many times.
Okay, Elaine, I didn't mean to.
Oh, well, I was going to say that I've had marks too on myself. I woke up in the morning and I had fingerprints inside both knees and inside of both thighs, and another of our people, because I was the director of the UFO Contact Center International for 20 years, and we had a lot of cases. And this other lady had the same thing the next morning, and she lived in Texas. So But the one I was interested in telling you about was a man that was from Galveston, Texas, that was abducted. And he was taken to this big warehouse where he saw this ship that they landed. And the people that got off of it were dressed in suits and hats, like could just interact with anybody. But he knew that they were not good. And he reached out. He doesn't even know why he did this. And he scratched them on the face. The skin peeled off. And under it was dark, real dark skin, wrinkled skin. So he knew it was a facade. And that poor man, he's had everything happen to him, but that's why I was interested in that scratch.
Oh, I see. Okay, how long ago did that happen?
Oh, that happened about 10 years ago, but these things are still happening to him. Mm-hmm. They attack him every night. These are not good people.
Okay, thank you very much. We're going to plug your blog here. Let me get it right. UFOExperienceBlog.com?
UFOExperiences.blogspot.com.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I got it right. Okay.
Thank
people
you.
Check that out. Thank you very much. How about in Italy? You just came back from there. Pretty much the same story? The same people? I mean, in other countries, they have the same story?
Yes. There have been some people that have come up to me when I've been in Europe and telling me that they related to what I was saying. This particular conference that Paula Harris had sponsored was mainly on Roswell research. And the Italian researchers are unbelievably knowledgeable about the Roswell incident. And what I presented was, you know, I touched on some of my abduction work because it was mostly on Roswell to promote the 60th anniversary. But I also shared my connection with Roswell and the times that I've been here and I had the opportunity of driving out to the crash site, the debris field with Don Schmidt and Tom Carey.
Right, and they were with us last night here on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And
so that
The Talk of Town, of course, is their new book.
Yes.
And their new witnesses they came up with and Walter Hout's affidavit.
That's what I read briefly, and I believe it was on the internet. I get many emails from UFO Update.
Sure.
And but I was so busy getting ready to come to Roswell that I didn't have a chance to read the entire thing. So I will be getting Don's book and reading the update on that.
Yeah, he goes into great detail, and there's some surprising things about it. Evidently, they do have several witnesses saying there were E.T. bodies and one live E.T. And so we've talked to Walter over the years. You've been to Roswell. You've probably met him before
oh,
he passed
yes.
away.
Yes, I'm very happy that I had the opportunity to meet him and get to know him.
I thought he was a pretty sincere man. What did you think?
I think so. I think all the witnesses, I think every single witness that I have met, that I have seen interviewed about the Roswell crash has been very sincere.
Speaking of the Roswell crash, if you took this evidence, especially with what Tom and Don have come up with, and there were some other researchers a little earlier that had some also things that Tom and Don found. If you took that to a court of law, you could probably win a court case on circumstantial evidence that actually something happened in Roswell.
I think so, but as I explained to my audience today, it's, you know, we have a terrible double standard in this country. We walk in and we talk about the Roswell UFO crash and have all this evidence, they're going to throw it out. But if it was something, another type of the case, because I watch court TV too, you know, it would
You're
be
right.
well accepted.
Need to get Catherine Cryer down here. But anyway, I'm just teasing. Yvonne, what you working on now? You mentioned the book. You got this DVD. You're going to have more series, more of that.
Yes, so the DVDs for Secrets of the Underground, and also Brandon Scott is debuting his film Alien Secrets here in Roswell on July 7th at the Galaxy 8.
Have you seen that movie?
I have seen it. I was able to get a sneak preview of it, and it's very interesting. I think people will enjoy it.
Can you tell me one of the secrets?
It's almost a parody on, you know, the UFO field and research, and it's fun, but there's a lot of truth thrown in there at the same time. But I think people should go and see it and enjoy it, and give us their feedback. I'm not in that particular film. I was interviewed with
Well, that's pretty nice of you to plug his film, and you're not even in it.
Well, he did a great job on our interview with Maya Buds and did a great job putting the DVD together. So I'm really proud of it. But again, I'm working on my book, which is going to be published this winter of 2007, and I'm also getting ready to go to Ireland to lecture there.
Ireland seems to be an interesting place. We go out to the UFO Congress every year, and there are lots of international people there.
Yes.
And always a lot of people from Ireland.
Oh, it was a pleasure meeting Betty Myler from Ireland, and I'm going to be very anxious to share my research from the United States and compare notes with the researchers there.
Yvonne, before we let you go, let's get back to your research and hypnotherapy. When you have people, you have to be careful in that field, and I know you're very professional about it. So is Bud Hopkins. And not everyone, is as professional. So how would a person have wanted to get hypnotherapy, how would they go about it? I guess they'd contact you or Bud or somebody like that, huh?
Right. We find that, especially in the UFO field and with abduction work, a person needs to be pretty well informed about the subject, what kind of questions to ask, be careful not to ask leading questions. Bud has a website, David Jacobs, myself. I get my business is mostly referrals, and when I do shows like yours, Jerry,
right,
I get
right.
calls of people that are interested in sessions. So it's really, a lot of it is word of mouth.
So your next personal appearance will probably be in Ireland?
Yes, unless I may go up to the Bay Area Conference in August.
That's in August, right.
And possibly the MUFON Conference in Denver.
Oh, well, that's coming right up.
That's coming right up.
In August.
They're both coming up very soon.
Yeah,
so,
right.
But definitely September 19th, I'm leaving for Ireland, and that should be an experience. I've never been there, so I'm excited about
well,
that.
Well, it just looks like the soap commercial, Irish Spring.
Right. I hear it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's what they say. I've not been to Ireland either, so I've seen the commercial. That's it. I live a very exciting life, Yvonne. You have anything I haven't brought out you'd like to bring out in this interview? Something that, we kind of brushed past a couple of things. You got something you'd like the audience to know about?
Oh, just that we're having a great time here in Roswell, sharing all of our research with the audience, with the public, with each other. The UFO phenomenon and the abduction work is still quite a mystery. And I know when I am interviewed, they want me to draw conclusions, but it's difficult to do that at this point.
So it's a mixed bag, but you do have some leading edges of evidence.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yes, absolutely. We have so many similarities in cases.
What are you going to call the book again?
Well, right now the working title is Chosen with a Question Mark. Recollections of UFO Abductions Through Hypnotherapy. Aileen has a copy of my notes. of my
Not only did
notes.
She ask a good question, but she also has the book to throw, show out. you sure this is not a carnival deal where you have the shill? You know what I mean? before you go, you brought up something that I got to ask, and that's the subject of Chosen. It seems to run in families and groups. Is that true?
Oh, yes. It runs, it starts in childhood and runs within families. It is intergenerational. That's definitely
well,
what we
every skeptic and everybody that covers UFOs, they want to know, well, if they chose these people, why didn't they choose high-profile people only, but they seem to choose common, everyday people.
It's, you know, across... It has no barriers. And how do we know they haven't chosen some high-level people?
Well, they probably wouldn't.
They just haven't come out of the closet yet.
We're going to close this segment. Yvonne Smith, let's give her a big hand, everybody.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with more from the Cover Up Cafe. Don't go away.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk to you about a vacation idea for this summer, or really any time, that is unique, different, and affordable. I'm talking about a tour of the Grand Canyon in a van with Marvelous Marv, the world-famous tour guide. Marvelous Marv has lived in the Grand Canyon area for well over 2 decades, and he will show you things that no other tour guide will, and all the while fill you in on the history and the mystery of the giant canyon itself. When you go on a tour with Marv, you get to see the best viewpoints and the best exhibits. He knows this canyon. He knows this area of Arizona. Now on this page, there's a banner you can click on, and it will take you to Marv's website, where you can get all the answers about Marv and his Grand Canyon tour. This is a vacation you will treasure forever. Check it out, won't you? Marvelous Marv's Grand Canyon Tours.